All right. We need one of those movie thingies. They must have a name for them. You know, it's like a chalkboard. It's got that thing on the top that it's like they hit down, and the guy will say, or it'll say on the front, take whatever, take. Well, tonight this is like take 1,000 or something like that, because nothing's working right tonight. So I'll start over again. We're doing this, man, let me see, back up. I'll say everything over again. If you missed the announcement on Sunday morning, it was that we're going to do the live stream, although we're not doing live stream. I'll upload this later tonight. We'll do the Bible study broadcast on Tuesday night at 7, Gospel of John, Wednesday night at 7, the book of Revelation, and then I'll upload them right away afterwards. And if everything works right, if you've been used to watching it in the morning on Wednesday morning and Thursday morning, then it'll be there in the morning when you get up, and you can watch it if you want to. Normally, when our equipment's working right, if you want to follow us in real time on live stream, then it'll be Tuesday night at 7, Gospel of John, Wednesday night at 7, the book of Revelation. But for some reason tonight, and that's why you're only going to see me tonight. You're not going to be able to see the scripture on the screen, because our little handy dandy Yolo box, I don't think it's the fault of the Yolo box, I don't know what's going on, but every week we connect to sermon audio and YouTube easily, and tonight absolutely not. We tried long time. We were supposed to start at 7, but at any rate, that's what's going on here. And we are in the Gospel of John. We're still in the chapter 17, the high priestly prayer of Jesus. However, at the start of this study today, this session, I want to talk to you about a different subject, and we'll see if we've got time left, we'll get back into John 17 at verse 16. But this is an important topic too that I want to talk to you about. So let's pray then, and we'll get right into it. And since you're not going to see the scripture on screen, you're just going to see me in this one, then you might want to have your Bible handy, whether it be printed or digital. I like that line in Ghostbusters, you know, where the Egon, is that his name anyway? He's this nerdy scientist, and he says, when somebody asks if he reads, he said, print is dead, you know. So, well, if you have a digital Bible, then print is dead. But at any rate, let's pray and we'll start. Father, we do ask your blessing on the study of your word tonight, and we pray that you would teach us, and that we would be able to understand and be challenged by your word. And we pray this all in Christ's name. Amen. All right, then. I don't think I'm forgetting. It's kind of a topsy-turvy evening here, but we'll see what we can do. I think Verla's probably, she's frustrated too, but it's a test of patience. And so far, we both have been passing the test. I'm not boasting. You don't want to boast about that, or before the broadcast is over, we'll be throwing things at something. But anyway. All right. Well, the subject I want to talk to you about, this is take two, is I want to talk to you about leaving and following. Okay? You think about that, pretty significant words in the Bible, especially in the Gospels, right? Leaving and following. This is a subject that concerns salvation itself, right? If we don't get this right, Christ won't have us. All right? He's kind. He's merciful. He desires that we come to salvation through faith in him. But if we don't get leaving and following right, then we're not going to get salvation right. Okay? So maybe, you know, this study, for some of you, I hope for many of you, will be encouraging. Because when you leave and follow, there's a price to pay. I was talking to one of our friends, well, I think maybe it was just this morning. Anyway, she was in a small church for many years. Now she's in another small church, ours. And she was telling me that her pastor would tell people, and now I'm going to just paraphrase what she said, but that he would tell people, and he probably, I bet he said it in his sermons too, that salvation in Christ is absolutely free. But it will cost you everything. Yeah. And those of you that are Christians, we know what he meant, right? Salvation is by faith alone, not by works. But it's going to cost us everything because, for one reason, right? When you're born again, you have to die first. You die in Christ, and then we are raised with him. There is a cost to pay. We have to lose our life if we're going to find real life then in Christ. And this subject of leaving and following relates directly to that. All right, so let's look at this. I got several passages that I have written down here. And the first one's Matthew 4, if you want to follow along with your own Bible. Matthew 4, starting at verse 18. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who's called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. It's their livelihood. That's their career. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Now maybe you've all heard sermons on trying to explain how it is that they would just up and leave their nets, their business, and follow this guy who there's no indication here that they'd met him before. And I've heard preachers and people try to figure, well, they must have met him before. You know, they knew something about him. But that is missing the point. The point here is, this is the powerful call of God coming to them, calling them to salvation. And they were two right there, two of them, that were elect, that God the Father had chosen eternity past, and he's giving them to the Son. And they're going to follow. All right? And that's what they do. Now, verse 21, and going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. You notice in both cases the emphasis on immediately, right now. They went. This powerful call of Christ to them. Now, you notice here that there's several things that they left, right? They left home. They left their father, Zebedee. Don't you imagine he was, he was probably puzzled by this, and he might have objected. It's like, hey, you guys, where are you going? I got this work to be done here. They just take off and follow Christ. And so they left their father. They left their livelihood. They left their boat. They left their nets and all the fishing equipment. They left them and followed Christ. If you are going to be saved, if you want to be right with God, you got to leave and you got to follow, right? There's no getting around it. When Christ calls us, I bet every if you think about it, even if you happen to still live in the same house, maybe you're a kid or a teenager and you still live at home, but nevertheless, there are some significant things in your life that if you're going to follow Christ, and this is all wrapped up in saving faith, the nature of saving faith follows Christ because it obeys Christ's commands, then it always, always, always means that you're going to have to leave something, some place, someone. You're going to have to leave who you were, and follow Christ. You see, let's go on to the next one here, chapter 8, verse 19. Here we go. And a scribe came up and said to him, "Teacher, I'll follow you wherever you go." And you kind of get the impression that he was all pumped, you know, all right. And there's a crowd around Jesus, and "I'll follow you wherever you go." And this guy's a scribe, so he's a expert, what, on the Old Testament, and leader, religious leader. And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." So right away, Jesus just says, well, this is what it's going to be like. Maybe we'll have to sleep out under the stars. You know, what he's saying? He's given the guy at least a hint as to what it's going to mean, what it's going to cost him to follow him. And maybe this guy was a guy that maybe had a comfy house and so forth, and he's going to be getting into something. He hasn't counted the cost, you see. Another of the disciples said to him, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Follow me and leave the dead to bury their own dead." Right? You don't have a really solid feeling that either one of those guys made the right choice. Right? Maybe one did, but it doesn't really sound like it. They didn't want to leave, so they couldn't follow. You can't follow Christ. You can't obey Christ. You can't be with Christ and be taught by Christ if you refuse to leave and follow him. You see that? Now, by the way, think of those guys in Matthew 4 there, the fishermen, right? Peter, Andrew, James, John. You know, what if Jesus had come along and said, "Follow me, you know, come and follow me." But they didn't do it, and he moves on. Jesus moves on, keeps going, and they're still back there in the boat, in the net with the nets and their father and so on. But somebody comes up to them later and says, "So, well, hey, what?" Well, I wouldn't do that there because they're all Jews. But what if somebody did say, "What religion are you?" "Oh, I'm a Christ follower. I'm a Christ follower." "Oh, really? Well, where's Christ, and how is it that you're following him? You're still sitting in the boat." Well, you can see that sounds dumb, but not so dumb when you apply it to today, is it? Because people can fake it a lot easier in when Christ isn't physically present, standing right there and then moving off. They can claim to be a Christ follower. That's kind of the bit of a faddish term for a Christian nowadays. I don't know why people don't want to just be known as Christians, but at any rate, I suppose there's nothing wrong with the term. You do have to follow Christ in order to be a Christian. But today, you know as well as I do that there are lots and lots and lots of people who claim to be Christians, who claim to be followers of Christ, but they never left and followed him when the call came to them, because they didn't want to pay the price. The tricky thing now is, because it's easy to fake, you can't fake it with Jesus. He knows, he sees it all, but you know, you can fake it. You can claim, oh yes, I'm following Christ. Well, of course, as you get to know people, maybe you start to see things, well, wait a minute here. You're a member of this church. And this stuff now is common today, right? You're a member of this church and you claim to be a Christian. Well, I noticed that you're not married, but you're shacked up with some guy or some gal, right? Or this is going on. Or you know, you see the point here. Here's a person who's walking in sin, unrepentant. Well, they're following the world. And Christ is going the other way. They aren't following him at all. If we are going to come out of the darkness and into Christ's kingdom of light, we got to leave. You got to leave the darkness, right? And follow him. Let's look at another one. Here's another one in chapter 9, verse 9. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew. Here's Matthew. This is the Gospel of Matthew. He's writing it. And he wants to, he wants people to know about the mercy that Jesus showed him, just a tax collector, a despised tax collector. Jesus passed on from there. He saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And it's the same thing. And he rose and followed him. Why would he do that? I mean, he's sitting in the tax booth right there. He's going on just like he always had. He's collecting the tax. He's ripping people off and so on. And in that moment, Christ comes to him, "Follow me." And he rose and he followed him. It's like Matthew, the master of understatement here. But that's, of course, that understatement gives emphasis to it. It's like, he did it. He did it. I mean, this tax collector, he left his money. And remember Zacchaeus, right? Up in the sycamore tree. Wasn't he a tax collector too? And Zacchaeus, come down. You know, come down. I must dine in your house today. I don't know if that's the scripture or the little Sunday school song. But anyway, the words are similar. I must dine. You know, it says Jesus came to the place and he looked up and there's Zacchaeus and he tells him, "Come down. I must dine," is it? Does he say, "in your house today?" Salvation, you know, salvation has come to us. Down he comes and immediately he says, "Anybody I've ripped off, I'll pay him back and I'll pay him extra." And he throws a party then for Jesus. Same thing. What if Matthew stayed in the tax booth? What if he said to Jesus, I can't come. Got my business here. I'm not going anywhere, right? Or what if Zacchaeus stayed up in the tree? And then he just continued on with his tax collecting business as well, right? So you see, again, this common denominator. In order to follow Christ, in order to believe in him, in order to acknowledge him as Lord and obey him and be born again, in other words, you got to leave. Because he commands us to leave. I don't think, as you think it through, I don't think there's a Christian, a real Christian, who has ever lived, somebody who really is born again, who did not leave something, someone, or some place in order to follow Christ, right? I don't think it's possible. You're going to have to leave if you're going to follow. Let's see now. I'm confused here on the takes. Verla, on this take two here, have I talked about what Veronica told me about or what her pastor said, or was that on the previous one? Yeah, I don't know. I'll give it to you again here because it's good. But I was talking to... So anyway, apologies if I did this before. But I was talking to a friend of ours, I think this morning, and she said that in the little church that she was part of for, I think she was in it for like 30 years, and that pastor eventually died, but now she's part of our little church. But she said that her pastor, who actually, I wish I would have had the chance to meet that guy, because she's told me about him. Anyway, he would tell people, maybe in his sermons or, you know, he would just tell people something, and I'm paraphrasing here, but something like, salvation in Christ is absolutely free, but it will cost you everything, right? There it is. That sounds like a conflicting statements, right? How can that be? How can it be free and yet cost you everything? Well, it's free because it's by faith alone and not by works. But that faith, as James said, is never alone. It's accompanied by works. And in this case, the work is obeying him. Obeying him. We can't say, I believe in Christ. Yeah, I believe in Christ. If I refuse to obey him, right? All right, so there's that example with Matthew. Now let's go on to, that was 9:9, chapter 10. And this will come back again to this subject of family. You know, those early disciples there, the Peter, Andrew, James, and John, especially James and John, they had to leave home. They had to leave family. They left their father and probably other family members as well, right? They had to leave them. I said in our earlier take that family is one of the biggest idols that people stumble over. I mean, over and over again. Christ, the gospel comes, and Christ calls them, but they don't heed his call because they refuse to leave and follow him. They refuse to leave home. They refuse to leave family, right? Bunyan, when he wrote Pilgrim's Progress, right at the very start, his struggle, the Christian struggle, is with pressure by his family, unsaved family, to prevent him from going. They refused. They didn't want him to leave. There's all kinds of pressure put upon him. I've just run across so many people over the years who this is the stumbling block, and you try to warn them, you try to show them the scriptures that, especially this next one we're going to look at here, that is so plain and powerful, but they just won't break from family, be it parents or siblings or whatever, you know. So and of course the idea there is that the in most cases then it's the family is not saved, they're not Christians, and they don't want you to be a Christian. They don't want you to leave. Or they'll try to, maybe they're nominal Christians in name only, but they'll want you to just stay put and say things like, you know, you can be a Christian. You don't have to go do that. Well, what if Christ is the one telling you to go, you see? So look at this one here, Matthew 10:34. Jesus again speaking, "Do not think that I've come to bring peace to the earth. I've not come to bring peace, but a sword." You know, if people would get a handle on that, just that statement right there, and really believe it, it would clear a lot of things up, right? I mean, is this the Jesus that most people who claim to be Christians serve? "I've not come to bring peace, but a sword." And he steps it up here, right? Look at, he doesn't back off at all. "For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a person's enemies will be those of his own household." Many of you can identify with that. The part of following Christ for you meant in some way leaving your family of origin or whoever, your old friends, right, people, and you left, and they don't like it. They don't like it because they like the old you, and they want you to keep being the old you, but Christ is calling you to obey him and follow him. So they become actually your enemies. That's what will happen. That's the way that it is, but think it through. You are not helping, you know, to argue that, well, I can't follow Christ, I can't go do that. Must be some other way I can serve the Lord. I can't go do that because I love my family and well, guess what? That's not love. You know, to go back to Pilgrim's Progress again, at the end, his wife and I think children, they all came to faith in Christ. If he'd have stayed, you know, why would you want to stay with unsaved family who doesn't, they don't want to follow Christ. Maybe they're, like I said, just fake Christians or maybe out and out pagans, but whatever it might be. Why would you want to stay there and go to hell with them? See, that's what Jesus is saying. Let the dead bury their dead. Let them bury their dead. You choose life. You come and follow me. But this thing is like has such a grip on people that really only the Lord can break it. And there are, and just to make things a little more sober, there aren't very many people that choose Christ and follow him and leave what he has called them to leave and follow him, right? "Whoever loves father or mother more than me," because see, that's what's happening. If Christ says, "Follow me," but you won't do it because, well, I've got to stay here with father, mother, and family and so forth, then you are loving them more than Christ. What is that the definition of? You have a false god. That's an idol. Anything that you love and cherish more than Christ is an idol. It is a false god. Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me, that is, die to yourself and follow me, is not worthy of me. And then here, but here's the promise. Whoever finds his life, now that's the negative part. You find your life in this world, will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake, whoever leaves, will find it, you see. All right. So there's another example. You got to leave if you're going to follow. If you're going to follow Christ, then you've got to leave. Matthew 19, 27. Matthew 19, 27. Here's Peter. Then Peter said in reply, talking to Jesus, "See, we've left everything and followed you. What then will we have?" And he was right. I don't think he was moaning and complaining. I think it's a valid question. It's true. They left everything and followed him. This is Peter, right? Wasn't it Peter that everybody's bailing on Jesus, bailing out? And Jesus turns to the disciples and says, "Well, you guys going to leave me too?" And Peter said, "Who are we going to go to? You have the words of life," right? And so he's serious here. We've left everything and followed you. What then will we have? And Jesus doesn't say, he doesn't chew Peter out for being selfish or something. It's a valid question. Here's how Jesus answers it. Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, in the new world, the new heavens and the new earth, all right? When the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you who have followed me," see, there it is again, "you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left," there it is, "houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my name's sake will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first now," they're the ones who don't want to leave. They want to keep their lands and so on, right? "Many who are first will be last. And the last," those who follow Christ, "will be first in that day." So you see it here. If you just remember these two words, leaving and following, and think seriously about those words and what they mean. No Christian, I'll say this again, no Christian has ever been born again who didn't leave something or someone or some place, something else, right? Leave who they used to be. It's part of genuine faith to leave if you're going to follow Christ. That was 19. Oh, now check this out. Hebrews 11, then. Hebrews chapter 11, the Faith Hall of Fame, right? Let's go down here to verse 8. Abraham. Now think about this. Hebrews 11, 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed. Faith, obey, right? Hand in hand. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called. That's a loaded word in Scripture, called. It's God's call to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. Now look at this. And he went out. He did. He left Ur. He left home. He left there. He pulled out. He went out not knowing where he was going. Not knowing where he's going. But here's that call of God again coming, that powerful, effectual call. And Abraham left Ur. If Abraham had responded, "Oh, I can't leave here. This is home. I've got family here. I've got my business, and I can't just up and leave." And he would have had plenty of people telling him, "It's stupid. Where are you going, Abraham?" "I don't know." I don't know. It was like, "Look, Abraham, you start moving, and I'll show you the way." That's what we're going to do. And really, if you think about that, in all of these calls, Jesus has to these guys to follow him. Well, where are we going? Never mind that. You just start following me, and you'll find out where we're going. All right? Well, that's what's happening here. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. So think about that. Look at that word and phrase, looking forward. In a way, maybe I'm reading a little bit into that, but it really is true. If you're going to leave, you can't be looking back. You got to look forward. If you're going to follow Christ, you got to look this way and look at him and keep your eyes on him. You can't be looking. You know, there's a classic example in Genesis, right? Lot, Sodom, coming out. Don't look back, Graverick. Don't look back. Don't do it. Guess who looks back? Lot's wife. Pillar of salt. All that because she was lingering here. She didn't want to leave Sodom. She didn't want to leave that place. And she didn't want to follow the Lord. So here's Abraham. He leaves big time and obeys, in that sense, follows the Lord. Again in chapter 11, Hebrews 11, verse 24 and following there. Oh, this is Moses. Think about this. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Look at now. By faith, he left. And there it is again. That's what I say. Leave and follow. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who's invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover, sprinkled the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith, now here's the people. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land. But the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. So Moses leaves, and he, you know, there's tons of reasons that he could have given, right? Excuses for not leaving Egypt. Pharaoh's going to be angry. This is my home, and you know, all kinds of excuses he could have come up with, but he didn't. Well, the people, the Jews, they also had to leave. They had to leave Egypt and follow Moses and go on through the Red Sea. And anybody who refused to do that, what's going to happen? I mean, if you say, "Oh, I can't leave this place. I can't do that," well, they perish, right? And so, at any rate, there you see another example. Hebrews 11, Abraham and Moses. Let me give you another one here from Paul, 2 Corinthians 6, down in verse 14. Now, this one isn't so much entirely leaving a place like the city of Ur or Egypt, but it concerns leaving unbelievers, leaving people. And in that sense, sometimes you would have to leave a place, right? So do not be, 2 Corinthians 6:14, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? That's like Satan. Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, go out from their midst, leave, and be separate from them, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord. People who hear the gospel, maybe they hear this passage right here. God is calling them to separate, to leave some kind of wicked people, whoever it might be, leave. Like maybe, you know, in this case, it's an idol temple. Maybe let's say somebody is raised in a false religion, Roman Catholicism, or you know, whatever it might be, and you're raised, and then your family, your friends, everybody, that's who they are. They're all your, you know, sometimes that your whole world can be like wrapped up in that religion. And then the gospel comes to you, and Christ calls you to trust in Him, believe in Him, follow Him, and leave that idolatry. And that's what Roman Catholicism is. Leave it. And that means leaving those people. And if you don't, if a person doesn't, you say, well, I can't do that. The cost is too high. I'll just kind of you know, they won't say it this way, but that's what it amounts to. I'll just kind of pretend to follow Christ, but I'm going to stay in the idol temple. Well, Christ says, you can't be my disciple. You can't be in my kingdom unless you leave then and follow, you see. Well, we could probably go on and on finding many other examples. But I'd like everybody to really think seriously about this. You know, there might be something, some people, some place that maybe you're still lingering at that the Lord has called you to get out of, and you need to do it if you're gonna follow Christ. If you remain in that place, you'll perish with that place. Just like Lot's wife did in Sodom. So I kind of fleshed that out for you. The skeleton of this lesson, though, is simply leave and follow. Leave and follow. Those are two words that you can remember that and give a whole lot of thought to that this week. I think I'm going to stop right there. I totally lost track of time. I don't know how long we've been going, but that's enough to absorb for tonight. Oh, there is one other announcement. Next week, I'm going to be gone Monday through Friday, and I don't think we're going to be able to double up on the studies and do them ahead of time. So next week, let's take a vacation and pick up the following week. Numbers of you follow along a week behind anyway if you're in a different time zone, so that'll be okay. But that'll be next week, both the John study and the Revelation study we'll take a break from. So, Father, we thank you for these truths from your word. We pray that we would be quick to get up and obey you and follow you wherever you lead us and whatever the cost. And we pray this all in Christ's name. Amen.